With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Shoot everything and anything. As simple as that sounds, it's all it is. If you're going out there each day and you're working on personal work or trying new things, you will definitely evolve and progress as a photographer. But you know, if you're just sitting there on Instagram kind of looking at other people's work, and you won't get anywhere. So I really think put down your phone and pick up your camera and get out there and shoot something new.
That's Mark Clinton. He's 22 and he's a photographer from Australia. Today you're going to hear his amazing story and find out how he gets to travel all around the world to shoot incredible photographs. Me, I'm Matt Bowen, and this is Phototypes.
It's Matt freaking Bowen.
Oh my gosh! Phototypes is a podcast about photographers, what makes them tick, what drives them towards their goals, and how did they get to where they are today. It's loosely based around a series of questions, which you can find out about in our intro episode or see on our Facebook page. In today's episode, then, you'll hear from Australian Mark Clinton, a photographer who gets to shoot in some incredible locations. Now, during this interview via Skype, I had to speak in hushed tones as it was 2 a.m. UK time and my wife was asleep in the room next door. Without further ado then, let's say hello to Mark Clinton. Hello, Mark. How do we find you today?
I'm good. It's a Tuesday morning. We just had the long weekend. So back in the office, unfortunately, doing some much needed off the to-do list. So here I am in the flesh.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us. I know you're very busy, often away from your homeland and all around the world. So really appreciate you taking the time out to do this. Just if you would, as we start all our interviews, take a look around you and tell us what you can see immediately around you.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is the huge to-do list that's been daunting me over the past few days. So, you know, here I am looking at that and kind of looking at the clock and hoping I can get it all done by today. And on the right of me, my favorite thing would be my foam roller, especially when in the office. Just roll out all those unwanted little nitty-gritty things in my back. And yeah, here I am.
And is your office a tidy office? Are you a tidy person?
To be honest, I'd normally lie and say yes, but at the moment it's looking pretty shocking with paperwork on little kind of schemes I've got going all scattered around my desk and kind of cords coming out of every computer, and yeah, it's not the most eye-inspiring.
Cool. I had this vision of you, well, I have this vision of you sort of editing by the side of the road in a shack or halfway up a mountain. Is that the sort of thing that you often find yourself doing, or are you pretty much back home and do your editing there?
Well, it really depends. I mean, over the past maybe several weeks, I've actually been kind of restricted to home, which has been good because I've been able to kind of concentrate and nail out those bigger jobs. But, you know, there are times when I am on the road and I am on the plane and I really have to make use of that spare time. So, I mean, I think it was three weeks ago, I was in Austria and I had a job over there. And the following week I was back in Australia in like a really warm climate, and then back into a cold environment in New Zealand. So it was a bit strange kind of being in, you know, being stuck inside and it's really cold, and then you're editing photos from last week in this tropical destination in Australia.
Does that affect you health-wise? Do you sort of need to look after yourself properly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when I know it's a bit ironic, but when I was a bit younger and I was, you know, I'd kind of thrash around my body a little bit more, but now every day is a working day for me. So I really have to kind of be mindful of what I eat and the amount of sleep I get. But obviously there are times when I've got deadlines and I do only get a few hours sleep. But I think it's all about routine and keeping my body quite stable.
For those of our listeners who don't know you, just tell us a little bit about yourself and what sort of photography you do.
So I grew up near Manly Beach in Sydney, Australia. I've always had this background for the water, especially surf photography, and that's how I guess my career developed, because it started off going on surf trips and doing road trips up and down the east coast of Australia and really enjoying the small things from not just being in the water, but the environment around, from the road trip itself and the places you go in between, those quirky little towns. And from there, I guess I just developed a love for travel, really. And through my work, I started going on trips for myself, and clients and whatnot started picking up on that. And here I am now, and kind of getting to do my lifelong dream, which is travel the world and shoot what I want when I'm not working. And kind of I've got that nice balance of working and then shooting personal projects along the way, both domestic and internationally.
So what sort of things now are you shooting?
At the moment, in terms of work, I mean, the last few weeks I had a shoot for Red Bull Australia, and that was just up in Noosa in the far north Queensland of Australia. And then several weeks prior to that, I was in, would have been Northern Territory, which is quite a warm climate. It's quite barren and deserted. And then there's this like orange dirt, which a lot of you, when you see photos of Australia, you'd probably think it's all like that. But hidden beneath all these kind of these barren highways and whatnot, there's all these secluded waterfalls and whatnot. So I had to shoot for a camper van company, actually, going around there with a couple and kind of making the most of what you do on a trip like that.
So you alluded to it a little bit there about how you got to the moment that you're in now, but expand a little bit on that. And what's your sort of schooling background and training background? Did you always want to be a photographer?
Throughout my schooling years, to be honest, I wasn't the best student. I was trying to avoid class when I could and duck down the coast on surf trips and, you know, try and wag school, I guess you could say. It started probably about 10 years ago. There was one particular surf session where I do remember taking my camera and thinking, you know, this is something I could really do for a living. But with surf photography, it's not a field where you can earn a lot of money, and it's quite, you've got to be in the right place at the right time, and really it's a lot of money to throw down. So I started looking outside of surf photography, and with no training, I got taken in by, I guess I'd consider him my mentor, a friend named Tristan, who was actually a bit of an older photographer at the time, and he introduced me to weddings. So through weddings, I guess I developed even just a bit more of a commercial skill, dealing with clients and kind of learning those nitty-gritty bits that really get overlooked in the scheme of things. I mean, it's not so much you just pick up a camera these days and you get to travel around the world. There's a lot of admin involved and a lot of time spent on the computers. So he kind of taught me a lot of that. And yeah, it's just been a real snowball process over the past, I'd say 2-3 years, where here I am now, and it's a lot of emails and a lot of time behind the computer, but it all pays off really when you're in some amazing place around the world and, you know, your objective is to take photos.
Yeah, because we've not mentioned yet how old you are, and you're 22, which is still pretty young. It's incredible the sort of journey you've had already in that short space of time. And what was it that really sort of pushed the button and set things off for you?
I'd probably say it was the time I left my previous job and kind of gave this a full-time crack. I used to work with autistic kids for about three and a half years, and it got to the point in my later time working with the kids that I was trying to balance that job and book jobs with my growing photography career in the meantime. And yeah, it got to the point where I was working weekends and after school, just trying to book and shoots whenever I could. And I eventually had to say sorry and kind of leave the school and go on my full-time adventure of being a photographer.
Was that a scary thing to do, or was it like the most exciting thing you'd ever done?
There were a lot of nerves involved. More so because I'm like, okay, well, I need to earn, you know, money to make a living, and I need to take this a little bit more seriously. And from that step, I kind of worked out how much I needed to earn and all the bits and pieces involved. And looking back now, I can't believe I even had to think of that, because it's just been an absolute dream as to how much work has come my way and the opportunities that have presented to me, especially in the past few years.
And how those opportunities presented themselves, did you sort of go and seek out work, or did people come to you having seen your stuff?
Living in Sydney, there's a lot of networking that goes on. And another element of all that is that popular social media app called Instagram. So at the same time as my commercial career was growing at home, I also started getting interest from an international client base through Instagram, whether that was just finding my work or sending me on these Instagram for meals where it's the perfect place or the perfect platform to travel the world. As you pretty much, they're like, okay, well, we'll take you over here and let's see what you can do. And here's some places you have to go. And yeah, just with your eye, kind of make the most of it. So for me, being 22, when I've got a lot of friends who, have to save up half a year, even a year, just to go over to Europe for a few months, I think they get quite jealous when all of a sudden I've been invited to Europe, 3 weeks in advance.
Yeah, funny that. I wonder why they get jealous. Are you having the time of your life, Mark?
Yeah, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I definitely am. I mean, looking back at a lot of my mates who, where I live especially, a lot of them are tradies or they're stuck in the 9-to-5. And I've got this flexibility of being able to work when I want, with who I want, and be able to travel both personally and for work. It's honestly a dream come true.
Being the age that you are, you've pretty much grown up in the digital era and the social media era. Has that definitely been a help for you?
Oh, 100%. I think a lot of the old school photographers who don't stay on track with the social buzz and whatnot, a lot of them are being left behind. And I know that that's for sure with the surf industry, for example. A lot of the old stubborn photographers, they're not really getting anywhere, but the younger ones who are kind of pushing it and, trying new things, they're getting a lot further.
I want to just take a tangent here and ask you about surf photography, because it's something that I've always been interested in, seeing the images. And so you're looking down the tube of a wave. So how does that work? How do you take that image? Are you literally there with that wave and you just get wiped out by the wave after you've taken the image?
It definitely involves a lot of knowledge for the water. Growing up on the beaches, that's kind of been ingrained in my head since such a young age. I mean, everyone here revolves themselves somewhat of a way around the beach, whether they swim each day or surf each day or what have you. So, yeah, when paddling out, especially in the bit more of the bigger waves and whatnot, you really have to have your head switched on, and it's all about timing. I mean, you've got your settings dialed, and then once you kind of know what image you want, you can sit in that spot. And, there are times that you come unstuck and there's a bit more force than you anticipated behind that wave, which can eventually lead to you getting sucked over the falls, which no doubt isn't the best experience. But, yeah, it's all a learning game, I guess.
Cool. Well, you seem to have learned quite well, judging by the images that I've seen on your website and on your Instagram feed. I also read on your Facebook that you went to Norway, was it last year, and lost all the images there? That must have been a real nightmare for you.
That was that's definitely something that's been a life learned lesson. So what happened was I did a 2 month stint in Europe, mid last year, but this time last year, and I went on around a two week trip around Norway, and compared to the rest of the trip, Norway, I really had some standout images that I hadn't even shown to anyone, and I was saving them for something special. So I had a feature in a magazine. So I was really excited to show all my Norway images, and it was kind of a big deal. And when it came to sending the raw images, I realized they weren't there. And I was kind of like, okay, well, where are they then? And I had this backup process, and what I'd done was, it must have been a late night or something, but when I was refreshing one of my hard drives, normally I have three backups of kind of each folder at any given time, and I'd somehow gotten down to one for this only Norway one, and I deleted it, so it's sitting somewhere in the, I don't know, somewhere in the internet graveyard or the hard drive.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Radio. But, I was pretty shocked when it all happened. And I'd done countless tutorials or whatever just trying to find these images. But, yeah, they've been long gone, unfortunately. But that gives me every reason to get back there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's something that you'll probably never do again, that's for sure.
That's true, yeah. I've got it all on lockdown now, and actually today on my to-do list I've got to sort hard drives reminder, which means it could be one of those days I lose images, but let's hope not.
See, it's not all glamour, is it? You've got
to
do
not all glamour.
Hard drive backup. That is living the dream. I'm guessing that sort of conversation would answer my next question quite well, is that when you're home, are you eagerly awaiting your next trip away, or do you enjoy spending time back at home?
So when I usually book jobs, I try and book them in a row. Well, I used to book them in a row. So when I come home, I can have a week of nailing them all out and getting them off to clients or whatever, and then having a few weeks to myself and kind of look forward to working on personal projects and really just getting my head in a good space. But that's not always the case. Recently, I've kind of had scattered jobs, so when I'm coming home, I'm finishing off that job before hopping on another plane or whatever. So it's just really about time management. And I know now I'm trying to book jobs with enough space to give me time to come home, regain my thoughts before I head off again. Just because when you're working, you know, two or three weeks in a row, it really has a negative impact on you in the way that it's hard to think creatively when you've got to keep recreating certain images over a long period of time. It's a bit too much.
When you're home, do you have a break from the camera ever, or you're the sort of person who needs to be taking pictures all the time?
I do give myself a break, yeah. I mean, when there's certain moments, say a big swell coming or whatever, you know, I'll be there with my camera if I can, if I'm at home. But I think over the past 6 months, I've definitely taken a bigger interest in shooting a lot more personal and kind of progressing as a photographer. Because the time you stop shooting for yourself and start shooting just for other people, it really does have, again, a negative impact on your thought process. I mean, it's hard to think of new things when you're stuck in this trance of you only know what you've done in the past, and yeah, not the best.
No, but I guess living where you do, you can get out and clear your head, even if it's just to go for a surf or something, and that'll sort of help you reset.
Yeah, I mean, living next to the beach, a normal day for me is wake up, go for a surf or go for a swim or a run near the beach, come home, get a lot of work done and, you know, try get out of the office in the afternoon and do something again fun just to break up the day, because, you know, like anyone, too much computer time can lead to a pretty terrible sleep, I think.
Yeah, I get very easily distracted by anything away from my editing, so living next to the beach would be a bit of a nightmare for me. I don't think I'd ever get anything done. So you've got to be very disciplined, I think.
Yeah, and it's hard because quite a few of my friends still are at uni, so on their days off, all they want to do is go to the beach, and I've really got to pull in the reins and be like, all right, well, this is my time to work and this is my time to do my own thing and treat myself. So yeah, it's been definitely a tedious task to try and develop all those skills.
Okay, let's move on to our next question then. Who or what has inspired your work and who continues to inspire you?
I think I'm the most inspired when I'm placed in unfamiliar surroundings, I guess you could say, you know, especially when I'm traveling. So when I'm on the road, I'm constantly seeing new things that inspire me. But I find that can almost have a negative effect over time, an opposing effect, where if I'm on the road too much, I'd almost just want to be settled at home, where I like to, it's the little things when I'm back at home. So it's just a swim in the ocean where I see something that I haven't seen in a while that might inspire me, or you know, just the little things like the yeah, I don't know. I've always found it that a hard question to answer, yeah. But it's definitely, I think definitely traveling and being in new places.
A different question: who influences you? Then you mentioned your mentor earlier on. Would that be someone who's been a big influence?
Yeah, especially over the past 5 odd years, my good friend Tristan. He's been a huge asset, I guess, towards my success. If there's any advice I need, I can go to him. And if there's any critiquing in photos, I can ask him. And a lot of it is keeping up with that online persona, whether that be Instagram or Facebook or whatever. So there's a lot of times I'm sending him messages and a few different images to choose from, going, okay, well, what do you think would work best? And he's always there to help me. And yeah.
And are you influenced by social media and using that as an outlet?
Within reason. I feel that now there's so much going on there that you could post the best photo of your life and it might not even get seen. So I try and not get too influenced by social media, just because, it can have a bit of an opposing effect, I feel. And there's so much good stuff out there that really, if you take too much notice of one given person or one given channel, you might start trying to change your work in that way. So it's really about staying true to yourself and having your own journey along the way.
Have you always been able to be sort of true to your own style and not be swayed by other things that you've seen?
Definitely not. I think social media definitely has that effect where you see particular images and you're like, oh, you know, I could almost do that, but with my own little twist, and then add this element. But yeah, it's now these days I try not to spend too much time aside from pushing out my content, just because, again, it can have a bit of a negative effect, and it's hard to have a clear portfolio for your client if you're always changing and whatnot. So I try to keep it, you know, in my roots now.
So what excites you then? What makes you get out of bed in the morning?
I think looking forward to a change of routine. I can tell you right now, if there's a big day behind the computer, I'm not the easiest to get out of bed. But, you know, when I'm on the road and I'm going to exciting places and whatnot, I'm just full of excitement. I'm always that one who can never get enough sleep before a big day and all sorts. So, I mean, at the moment, I'm about to head off to New Zealand for the sixth time in just over a year. In the next couple of weeks. And I've actually got a few jobs booked over there, so I've extended my stay there for about a month. So one of my newfound hobbies, I guess you could say, is skiing. Over the past couple of weeks, over the past year, I've been fortunate enough to go to some places which have offered skiing, and through that I've built up, definitely a love for it. So when I'm not working in NZ, you'll find me up at the slopes at either Cadrona or Treblecone.
Are you a thrill seeker? Are you into extreme sports?
Oh, I like to pretend I am. I mean, within reason. There's the level of extreme sports these days is just, I can't even fathom how people do it, you know, from big waves to some of the crazy lines that say skis or snowboarders go down. It's pretty insane, but yeah, it's definitely inspiring stuff and kind of gets me to push my own level.
So conversely then, what scares you?
When it's in the water, it would have to be sharks. It's one of those, you know, they're out there somewhere, but you don't know obviously where, and it's more so just a bit of a screw around with your head, because you're constantly thinking about them in some of these places, but really the chances of getting eaten are so slim. And I guess on more of a personal level, I am a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to work and stuff. So in the past, when I've had really big jobs, I've had nightmares of rocking up to a shoot without a camera and all these sorts of bits. So that definitely scares me.
Yeah, do you get nervous before shoots?
I always get nervous. And I think if you don't get nervous, I think that means you're a bit too confident. And yeah, I definitely think nerves can have a positive effect.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this thinking, oh, you did a wedding a few times. Would you ever do a wedding again?
Of course. Like that was that kind of solidified myself as a full-time photographer in my early beginnings. You know, I've shot, I reckon, over 50 weddings during my time. And the only reason I stopped shooting weddings was just because I can't book weddings in advance and then get a job 2 weeks prior where I might be flown around the world. And, you know, that I've had a situation like that, and it's not cool. Although, you know, weddings are such a fun day, it's hard to compare to being in a helicopter somewhere else around the world.
I can imagine your wedding photography is pretty off the scale. I would like to see some of your wedding photography.
Yes.
Okay, if you could be anything else for the day, what would you be?
Ironically, a great white shark. I think swimming around, just being the boss of the ocean, would just be a total game changer. And just having everyone just being so frightened of you, not that I'm that sort of person myself, but it'd just be interesting for a day and see how it is on that side of things.
Who, living or dead, would you love to photograph?
You know what? I'm gonna stick on the animal buzz here, and I'm gonna say a woolly mammoth. Like honestly, I'm the least part of an animal photographer, but growing up, reading all these books and seeing all these cartoons, woolly mammoths, just, I don't know why, but they've always had something embedded in my brain. I don't know, it's something so fascinating. So, I mean, I'd love to see, like, document them for one day. As strange as that sounds,
they are pretty big boys, so I reckon they would go under your list of what scares you as well.
Yeah.
All right, give us some advice for any other photographers listening to this who love your stuff on Instagram and Facebook and follow you a lot. What sort of advice would you give to them to sort of live their dream?
Shoot everything and anything. As simple as that sounds, it's all it is. If you're going out there each day and you're working on personal work or trying new things, you will definitely evolve and progress as a photographer. But, you know, if you're just sitting there on Instagram kind of looking at other people's work, and you won't get anywhere. So I really think put down your phone and pick up your camera and get out there and shoot something new.
Cool. Or just shoot something on your phone.
Yeah, or just shoot something with your iPhone. Why not?
Yeah. Do you shoot a lot with your phone while you're out? Are you a phone snapper as well?
Yeah, I think so, for those little moments. If it's a big moment in time, or say a big trip, I definitely will always, you know, my iPhone will be my second priority. But when I was in Europe, I did start using, I think I got a bit lazy my last trip to Europe, started using my iPhone a little bit too much. So when it came around to to features and interviews and showing that content, it just got a little bit restricting when saying, oh, look, I've only got an iPhone res.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to us. It's been a great pleasure having you on and hearing all about you. Who else should I be interviewing? Who would you like to know more about in the photography world?
I think someone who's always had my eye and definitely influenced me would have to be Ryan Panofsky. So he's actually an iPhone photographer from the south coast of New South Wales. And he's up there with someone who will swim out in the biggest surf just with his iPhone. So he's been creating some really, really amazing content in the past few years. And it just goes to show you don't need, you know, $10,000 setup to swim in the water and get these sort of images. It really comes down to knowledge of the ocean and the knowledge of light. So, yeah, he's definitely nailed those two elements.
All right, Mark, that was brilliant. Thank you very much for joining us. Do you want to give a little plug to your social media outlets and how people can find out more about you?
Yeah, sure. So my website is markclintonphoto.com, M-A-R-K-C-L-I-N-T-O-N. And my Instagram handle is @MarkClinton. And my Facebook handle, again, is markclintonphoto.
Excellent. Well, it's definitely worth checking out any of those social media outlets and Mark's website. There's some amazing work on there. So thanks once again.
Oh, thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate it.
Many, many thanks again to Mark Clinton for joining me on the first ever episode of Photo Types. To make sure you don't miss any more episodes, remember to subscribe to this podcast and rate and review each episode, please. We really do appreciate it. Have a look at our Facebook page, facebook.com/phototypespodcast. To see some more examples of Mark's work, and also follow us on Instagram @phototypespodcast. Next week, I'll be speaking to an incredible wedding photographer, Maria Bentley. Phototypes is produced and presented by me, Matt Bowen. Our music is by Nick Bentley, Soft Piano, and Songs for Cash.